From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Tuesday, June 27th, 2017. And on this day, state legislators still haven't reached an agreement on the budget. We'll have an update on what's going on or not going on. And we'll meet some grown-up French horn players who are at summer camp in New Hampshire. That's all ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Master of Public Health Program, preparing students for today's complex population health and health services needs.
The future of a voter-approved state election overhaul remains uncertain after two conflicting votes in the legislature today. Steve Missler has details.
Three Democrats joined the Republican majority in the Senate to scuttle the ranked choice voting law before it's implemented next year. Democratic Senator Bill Diamond, a former Secretary of State, says allowing the law to stay in place sets up the possibility of having two election systems, one for state races and another for congressional ones.
This has nothing to do with whether you support ranked choice voting or not. It's the absolute practicality of trying to implement two systems at the same time.
The bipartisan Senate vote appeared to doom the election overhaul, but the Democratic-controlled House then voted to effectively allow the law to stay on the books until such time as a constitutional amendment is approved. To date, the two-thirds support needed to send a constitutional amendment to voters has been lacking. And opponents of the law have been emboldened to repeal it after the Maine Supreme Judicial Court found a key provision unconstitutional. But supporters of ranked choice voting say the people approved the new system in November, and it's up to lawmakers to either implement it or offer the voters the chance to change the Constitution. Additional votes will be taken this week. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Meanwhile, in Augusta, Governor Paul LePage is predicting a partial government shutdown come Friday night. LePage and legislative leaders have not been able to reach agreement on a two-year budget, and funding to run the state government is about to run out. Mal Leary has more.
Governor LePage, appearing on Bangor radio station WVOM, blamed Democrats for blocking a budget agreement and accused them of being controlled by labor bosses and the progressive-leaning Maine People's Alliance. Predicting a partial shutdown this Friday, LePage said he's already working on a list of essential state workers, including state park staffers, that will be ordered to work.
State parks stay open because I'd fear for vandalism, damaged property. I take my job very, very seriously.
LePage says he will also order law enforcement personnel to work, even though their pay will be delayed until a budget is actually passed.
Law enforcement and anything to do that would hurt the properties of the state of Maine, I will give preference to. And I'll also give preference to revenues. So revenue people, you're staying on the job.
The Special Budget Conference Committee met early to consider sending the House Republican budget plan, which LePage says he would support, to the legislature for a vote. But Republicans balked at taking a vote without assurances from Democrats they would support that plan. Bangor Democratic Representative Aaron Fry, who serves on the committee, asked House Republicans if they wanted a chance to vote for their budget.
In my understanding, Representative Winter, what you're saying is that the House Republicans are not prepared to vote on what it is that was presented on Thursday to this committee?
Representative Tom Windsor, a Republican from Norway, told the committee that it made no sense to have a vote if Democrats won't support the plan.
It doesn't make any sense to me unless there's a commitment out of the Democrat caucus to support whatever we come out of this committee to go through that process.
The two top leaders of the legislature are saying that a budget deal should be reached and put on LePage's desk this week. They say that even if there is a shutdown, it will be because LePage delays either signing or vetoing the plan and gives the legislature no time to override that veto. Senate President Mike Thibodeau, a Republican, says negotiators are moving close to an agreement.
I think it would be an absolute shame, a huge disappointment, and a travesty to get to a point where there is $40 million separating the two extremes, and that we couldn't find a way to come together.
But no one has put forth a plan to bridge that gap. House Speaker Sarah Gideon, a Democrat, vowed that action will be taken on a budget.
We will be voting out a budget this week. Everyone should have that expectation. I hope it will be a budget that can pass on the first round. If it doesn't, the Committee of Conference will convene again and again and continue to create budgets until we get our job done.
Hundreds of state workers lined the halls of the State House, leading to where the party caucuses were being held, as well as the third floor where the House and Senate chambers are located. They held a Don't Shut Me Down barbecue in Capitol Park, reminiscent of the tent city formed there in 1991 during the last state government shutdown. More protesters are expected every day this week. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Summertime is camp time, and that's not just for kids anymore. Adults are signing up for camps that focus on everything from wine tasting to bird watching to playing the French horn. For more than 20 years, the Kendall Betts Horn Camp in New Hampshire has attracted both amateurs and professionals. Patty White reports on why hornists flock to the White Mountains to practice what some consider the most perilous of instruments.
We've all seen the instrument, brass tubing coiled into a circle with a flared bell. Some people call it the French horn, a reference to where the best horns were made when they were first embraced by orchestras. But purists insist that it's simply the horn. Whatever you call it, the instrument's voice has helped to create some of the most epic classical songs and movie themes. Though horns have been featured in orchestras for hundreds of years, they were born in the woods, used by hunters to communicate over long distances. Now, every summer, dozens of horn players go to the woods in the White Mountains to return to their instrument's primitive roots. Some are aspiring professionals, like 22-year-old Torin Hallett of Wisconsin. He first came to the Kendall Betts Horn Camp 4 years ago.
It was just incredible. I'd never before been in a place where everybody just spoke horn all the time.
The language of the horn emanates from wood cabins from early in the morning till late at night. Guided by professionals, players absorb a semester's worth of training in 1 week. Hallett says it's an intense workout.
They do tell you to be in shape, playing-wise, when you come to camp, because otherwise I haven't never done it, but some people do get hurt.
Bruised and swollen lips are among the injuries that can sideline musicians who take up what's considered among the most difficult, if not the most difficult, instrument to play.
It never really gets easier.
Bernard Scully is a horn professor at the University of Illinois and artistic director of the camp.
You know, I think part of it is that the instrument is simply an amplifier for the person playing it. You know, the human being generates the sound very much like singing. The vocal cords are the lips.
Which players buzz like this. Press them into the horn's mouthpiece, and the sound transforms into something like this. But if what goes in isn't perfect, what comes out isn't either. The lips have to be placed just so and vibrate the right amount in order to hit the correct note. The perils don't end there. As players blow, their breath condenses into water droplets that can get trapped in the horn's 18 feet of coiled tubing, which can throw a note off. But when it works, the sound of the horn is what blows players away.
To me, it sort of speaks to my soul, or whatever part of me could be considered godly.
75-year-old Sue Hodgson of California returned to the horn after playing it as a young girl. She says relearning it was overwhelming, so she came to the camp for help. That was 7 years ago. She's returned nearly every year since, and now plays in two bands and two orchestras.
I get a lot of mojo for going to horn camp.
The camp propels many of its alumni into orchestras and teaching positions. Camp rookie 16-year-old Colin Lundy of Illinois has come to figure out if he should go pro. He's played since he was 10, but admits that he really didn't feel the urge to practice till a couple years ago.
Playing it, it's like different from any other instrument. Like, it feels so close to just singing.
After rubbing elbows with professionals and kindred spirits, Lundy now wants to turn his love of the horn into a career. And though he's played nearly nonstop for a week straight, he says he can't wait to go home and practice. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Tuesday, June 27th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.